Does our life communicate the resurrection is real? This morning we'll be examining 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 29 to 34. You can start turning there if you like. We have Bibles at the back for you to borrow or keep. We're continuing with the all or nothing perspective about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, I thought about just coming up, referring you to Joseph's message from last Sunday, saying a full-hearted amen, and then just sitting back down. But, you know, it just didn't quite feel right. Plus, I'm very excited about how God will move today through His Spirit as we encounter His Word. So please stand if you're able. Let's read God's Word together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 29 to 34. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The title of my message is Coming to Our Senses, Aligning Resurrection Belief and Behavior with the Gospel. And there's two areas, nice chime there on cue. There's two areas of alignment. One is to align our beliefs and our behavior so that how we think, what we say, and how we act is noticeably, undeniably consistent. And the other is to align both what we believe and how we behave with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I like cacti. I have some at home. This is my latest cactus. It's called a bunny ears. Isn't it so cute? Isn't God so creative? Now, notice the tag there and the heading, skill required. There's a scale, a 5-point scale. One being the least gardening skill required, and five being the most. The skill required for taking care of this cactus is a one. And that's good, because my passion for this cactus aligns nicely with my skill level as a gardener. I'm easily a 1 out of 5. I mean, maybe even a 2. Alignment is important. Here's a car. This is not our car, for the record. Now, just saying, but if a car's brakes were out of alignment, that would be a problem. Alignment is significant. Alignment of belief and behavior, and alignment with the gospel of Jesus. It matters what we think and what we do about the resurrection. To be clear, what is the gospel message? It's the good news about Jesus, the good news about God's grace, mercy, and love for all. Paul reminds his readers of the gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 5. For what I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. Jesus appeared, not to one, but to many, including the Apostle Paul. Our belief in the resurrection is based on eyewitness accounts. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul reminds us that Jesus is alive, and he confronts the error, the ignorance of believing there is no resurrection. In verses 29 to 32, Paul makes three different arguments. He uses rhetoric, he also appeals to logic and reason. Because you don't have to throw your brain away to become a Christian. Belief in the resurrection of Jesus is actually a logical position given all the facts. The resurrection holds up when you examine history. In verse 29, Paul confronts the Corinthians, pointing out the inconsistency of their belief and behavior. Okay, so you say there's no resurrection. Well, if there is no resurrection, what are you doing with this baptism for the dead? Your beliefs and your behavior don't match. Okay, I'll take a step back. I'll acknowledge that there's this baptism for the dead in this passage. First of all, I'll freely admit, I don't have answers on this one. Commentator Gordon Fee writes that at least 40 different solutions have been given for what this specifically means. And I mean, if I could call the Apostle Paul on my cell phone, don't know if there's a 1-800 number, I could ask him, what is this baptism for the dead? Oh, and can you tell me about the wild beasts in Ephesus? I mean, I got questions. So, obviously, we can't do that. There's stuff we don't know. But we know all that we need to know. Because there's no historical or biblical precedent for baptism for the dead. This was not a practice in the early church. And we know that you can't be baptized for someone else. Or just because someone else wants you to be baptized. Baptism is about your personal belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your commitment to follow Jesus. To communicate through your life that the resurrection of Jesus is real. Behavior aligned with belief. So after calling out the inconsistency of some in the Corinthian church, Paul says, what about me? What about us? If there is no resurrection, why do we face death every day? It just doesn't make sense that we would suffer, that we would devote our entire lives to sharing the gospel, that we would, and you know that we did, Oceanside Church, you know that many, many have died for their faith in Jesus Christ. It just doesn't make sense. Unless it is true that Jesus rose from the dead. And if it is true, what are we going to do about it, Oceanside Church? What are we going to do about it? In my own journey of faith, I asked Jesus into my life as my Savior and Lord at age 6. But in my 20s, I was attending university, And I was bombarded with different philosophies, influences that were directly opposed to my Christian faith. And I began to have doubts. Was this real? But I couldn't shake the reality that the followers of Jesus had experienced firsthand the empty tomb. They were saying, "We have seen the risen Jesus with our own eyes." And it made no sense to me that all those people would die for a lie. Paul continues in verse 32, quoting Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 22 is a prophecy of coming destruction. Reading verses 12 and 13. The Lord Almighty, called you on that day to weep and to wail, to tear out your hair and put on sackcloth. But see, there is joy and revelry, slaughtering of cattle and killing of sheep, eating of meat and drinking of wine. Let us eat and drink, you say, for tomorrow we die. The Lord had called his people to be in mourning, to repent, to turn back to God. But instead, they ignore God. They do the opposite of what he's calling them to do. And the Apostle Paul is saying, yes, if there is no resurrection, this is appropriate. Eat, drink, tomorrow we die. What does it matter? But then Paul stops saying if. He looks the Corinthian church squarely in the eye and urges them to live in the truth of the resurrection. Clean up your belief. Clean up your behavior. What about us? We can go on talking about the church in Corinth, but what about us? Do our lives communicate that the resurrection is real? Does our behavior align with our belief? There are three imperatives in this passage. Do not be misled. Come back to your senses. Stop sinning. Verse 33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. What influences us? Are there things in our lives that are misleading us, subtly or not so subtly, taking us away from God and his truth? What is potentially our bad company? I believe that we each have to regularly examine our own lives, and we have to consistently examine ourselves as a church, as God's people, allowing God's Spirit to speak to us each and every day. Do we have any unhealthy friendships or relationships? Yes, we're called to be salt and light. But that means we influence others. We give them the opportunity to realize that the resurrection is real. What about the influence of what we view and share on social media or our participation in chat groups? What about how we entertain ourselves? And for example, there's profitable things on Netflix like Jesus Revolution. I was so excited that was on Netflix. But there's also a whole bunch of basically empty stuff, or even worse. So notice how you are being influenced in all the areas of your life, and don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And all this stuff is for me too. These verses hit me pretty hard. Come back to my senses. Stop sinning. Where do I need cleaning up? What in my life do I need to let go of? What is wasting my time? Time that is so precious. If the resurrection is true, and I believe it is, what actions, thoughts, priorities need to be realigned with the resurrection of Jesus? And yes, there are specific areas in my life where I have work to do. But a big part of my list is not do more and try harder. It's actually more about resting in God's strength and listening more closely to the Spirit. Perhaps you can relate to any or to all of this. Come back to your senses. Other translations say, sober up. Awake to righteousness. There's this idea of moving from a state that is distorted and deadened to a state that has complete clarity, where you are awake, vibrant, fully alive. Isn't this what all of us really want, deep down? Isn't this what only Jesus can give? So we have to let go of our ignorance of God, those excuses or lies that keep us from the truth. Jesus is alive, and he invites you to come to him. Let's pause. Let's pray together.
Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it convicts, how it cuts. But thank you for your gentleness, Lord. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your great patience in my life, God. You are truly amazing. I love you so much. Thank you that you care about everyone so deeply, Lord, for what you've done. All the little details that you care about people, Lord. I ask that you would draw close to us, to each one of us, Lord. Reveal yourself slowly and patiently, Lord. But reveal yourself, and may we respond. May we respond to Jesus. We pray these things. Thank you that we can celebrate your table together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.